So there have been recent increases in primary and secondary syphilis and HIV among MSM. From 2005 to 2008, PNS syphilis increased 74% among Black MSM and 61% among Hispanic MSM. Recently, HIV also increased 48% among Black MSM aged 13 to 29 years. While several studies have examined the temporal trends in sexual behaviors among MSM pre and post heart, few studies have examined recent trends in behaviors. One such study was a random digit dial survey from Seattle, and they found little change in sexual risk among MSM from 2003 to 2006. Research from the United Kingdom has found differences in STD and HIV risk behaviors when comparing population-based surveys to community or internet-based samples. Specifically, both studies found lower levels of sexual risk, fewer STDs, and less HIV testing in population-based samples as compared to the community-based samples. But in the U.S., there's a lack of population-based data on MSM, and there hasn't been any data on recent temporal trends at the national level. So we sought to determine the prevalence of sexual behaviors among MSM using a national probability sample, and we wanted to examine whether or not behaviors changed recently in the time frame where syphilis increased. So we used the National Survey of Family Growth, it's the NSFG, and it's a multi-stage national probability sample that includes non-institutionalized males 15 to 44 years of age. Data were collected in 2002 and then continuously since July 2006. And what that means is they're in the field interviewing every quarter of every year from now on. So we compared the 2002 and the 2006-2008 data sets. NSFG is a household survey. It includes oversamples of adolescent, Black, and Hispanic respondents. And interviews were conducted in English and Spanish. Most of the sexual risk behaviors, including all of the same-sex partnership questions, are on the audio computer-assisted self-interview, or the ACASI. And the response rates were 78% in 2002 and 75% in 2006-2008. So we looked at two groups of MSM. We first looked at men who reported that they'd had at least one partner, same-sex, in their lifetime. And so we looked at the prevalence and the population total estimates for that group. And then we examined men who reported having a male partner in the past 12 months, which we refer to as a sexually active MSM. For that group, we looked at several sexual behaviors as well as STD and HIV testing. We used Sudan to account for the complex sampling used by NSFG, and data were weighted to represent the U.S. male population 15 to 44. So first, I just want to briefly provide some information on men who reported one male partner in their lifetime. So from 2002 to 2006-2008, we found no change in the percentage of men who reported that they had at least one male partner in their lifetime. It was about 5 to 6% of men in both time frames. And the weighted population total estimates are 3.7 million in 2002 and 3.2 million men in 2006-2008. We did look at differences by several demographics, and none of them differed across the two time periods. So there were no differences by age, race, ethnicity, current marital status, education, poverty, or whether or not they lived in a metropolitan statistical area. And I should note that most of the major large MSAs in the United States, NSFG covers, I think it's the top 15. So then we looked at the group of men who reported that they had a male partner in the past 12 months, or the 12 months prior to interview. Approximately half of the men who had ever had a partner also had a partner in the past year. So the next set of results focuses on these men, MSM who are sexually active, and who number from 1.36 to 1.6 million men. This is 2.1 to 2.7% of all men aged 15 to 44 in the U.S. So first, we looked at the average number of partners in the past 12 months for all sexually active MSM. On the left, you can see that sexually active MSM overall reported an average of 2.9 male partners in 2002 compared to 2.5 in 2006-2008, and these numbers were not different, significantly different. We also didn't find significant differences by age. We looked at three age groups. If you look at the 15 to 24-year-olds, the adolescents and young adults, that difference did approach significance, the decline, but it was P equal to 0.05. So we looked at the average number of male partners by race and ethnicity also. We did find one significant difference. It was for the non-Hispanic other group. However, the estimates for this group were unstable. They were based on a very, very small sample size. So we dropped them out of the analysis, and we then looked at the remaining three groups by race and ethnicity, so Hispanic, non-Hispanic white, and non-Hispanic black. We found no differences in the average number of male partners across time for any of these three groups, and we also found no difference between the three groups in terms of average number of partners in 2002 or 2006-2008. So we also looked at sexually active MSM who had multiple partners, male partners, in the past 12 months. About half of the men reported that they had had two or more partners in the past 12 months in both time frames. And over one-third of sexually active MSM had three or more male partners in the past 12 months. So the NSFG includes a few other sexual risk behaviors with male partners, so we looked at those. First, we looked at exchange sex, so whether a man gave money or drugs for sex with a male or he received money or drugs for sex with a male. We did find a significant decrease from 2002, 2006, 2008 in reports of both behaviors. I will say that that 0.06, the gave money or drugs for sex in 2006, 2008, that estimate was a little bit unstable based on the relative standard error, but the magnitude of difference is so large that we really think that with a larger sample size, that one will probably still stay. Oops, wrong way. There we go. Sorry. Okay. Up or down. So we also looked at whether or not they had an HIV-positive male partner in the past 12 months. And there was no difference across the two time frames. So it was 6-7% of men reported that they did have a HIV-positive partner. But NSFG at the time did not ask about condom use with the HIV-positive partners. So it's been added, and in the future we'll be able to look at it, but we couldn't now. Since we didn't find an increase in sex partners or risk behaviors, and we actually found a decrease in some of the risk behaviors, we looked at STD and HIV testing across time to see if there would be maybe an increase in testing that could be associated with the increases in syphilis and HIV. But we found no differences in reports of ever having an HIV test. So it was 77% in 2002, and 86% of sexually active MSM had ever had an HIV test. We also found no differences in reports of an STD test in the past 12 months, where it was about a third of sexually active MSM received a test for an STD in the past 12 months. So finally, we looked at condom use at Last Sex, and they asked the question for MSM and MSMW. So for MSM, there was no difference in reports of condom use at Last Sex. It was 43% in 2002 and 36.4% in 2006-2008. However, we did find a significant decrease in condom use at Last Sex for men who had sex with men and women in the past 12 months. In 2002, it was 54% of MSMW used a condom, but only 21% in 2006-2008. However, we thought we should look at this a little farther, and we analyzed MSMW to find out the number of men who reported having sex with both men and women. And this number significantly declined from about 633,000 men in 2002 to 331,000 men in 2006-2008. This subpopulation is less than 1% of all men, and it's 11% of MSM in 2006-2008. That's down from about 22% in 2002. So given that we found declines in the numbers of MSMW and also declines in condom use, we wanted to see if the overall number of men who reported not using a condom, who were MSMW, changed over time. And we found that the number actually decreased. So in 2002, 292,000 MSMW did not use a condom at Last Sex, compared to 262,000 in 2006-2008. So although there was this drastic decline in condom use, the numbers went down so much that there was actually no more men engaging in unprotected sex in 2006-2008. Okay, so we have several limitations to our analysis. General population surveys, particularly those at the household level, can underestimate some risky populations, such as homeless populations. NSFG didn't include a measure of unprotected anal intercourse partners, and crystal meth use was not included in 2006-2008, so we couldn't look at any trends for that. The behaviors were self-reported, and we did use a CASI. However, it's possible that there may be an increase in social desirability bias across time. Most of our estimates were stable. We only had two unstable estimates, but we will replicate our analyses. They recently released the 2006-2010 data set, so it has a much larger sample size, and we can replicate our analyses to make sure that the differences hold. Finally, because of the small sample size, we couldn't examine some of the riskiest behaviors by age and race ethnicity. It was just too small of a sample to get down there. The estimates were unstable, but we will do so with the new data set. So in conclusion, while STD and HIV were increasing, self-reported sexual risk behaviors were stable or decreasing among MSM in the U.S. This also follows a general trend that we've found many times for heterosexual men and women during that same time frame. And it also suggests that factors in addition to an individual's sexual risk behavior should be examined in relation to the increases that we're seeing. For example, heterogeneity in behaviors within subpopulations and sexual mixing patterns both within and across subpopulations are known to drive transmission. So consistent with previous research, the subpopulations most affected by these recent increases did not have higher risk behaviors. So we found no higher reports of male partners among Black, Hispanic, and young MSM as opposed to older and white MSM. We did find that sexual risk and HIV testing were slightly lower than results for many other venue-based or convenient samples. And finally, data do suggest that data from a national probability sample can be useful to determine maybe the larger patterns of risk among MSM, but they're probably most useful when used in combination with convenience or local samples. But it is a reminder to consider the need to consider other factors to better identify the core groups that are playing the largest role in transmitting STDs, because sometimes targeting an entire subpopulation can lead to unintended consequences. And to minimize that, it may be better to try to identify those who are most at risk within the subgroup. Oh, and I want to thank Anjani Chandra at the National Center for Health Statistics, who answers our questions endlessly. So, thank you.